Debt worries in Europe, trade warnings from China, are old worries back again?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. In a moment, we'll gauge the economic threats coming from Europe and China. First, where's Wall Street? The government issued some reports this morning on jobs and economic growth. Overall, the numbers were just stable, but that seems to be enough for investors. The Dow is up 96 points, about 0.9% at 10,930. The Nasdaq up 0.7%, and the S&P 500 up about 1%. The worrisome news is coming from overseas. Let's bring in economist Diane Swonk of Mesirow Financial. She joins us live each Thursday from Chicago. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
In Europe, people are protesting government efforts to cut deficits. We had an Irish bank bailout, another downgrade in Spain's credit rating today. It seems Europe's debt problems are not behind it?
They're not behind it at all. In fact, the aftershocks from the financial crisis, many of the worst of them are still ahead of us. Remember, after the financial crisis, we lost a lot of jobs, and we're still down from where we were during the height of the financial crisis in terms of employment.
Another overseas issue that's simmering today is that Beijing today warned Washington that our economic partnership might suffer because of a House vote yesterday allowing tariffs on Chinese imports. What's going on? Is this the beginning of a trade war?
This is a real concern out there, is that, you know, be careful about biting the hand that feeds you. Our relationship with China is a difficult one. We do want China to appreciate their currency. If they do it too quickly, though, it will undermine our own relationship. It will raise the cost of imports, cheap imports for very low-income individuals in the U.S., and could cause a trade war, which would cut off one of our major export markets. This has been one of the few silver linings to the U.S. economy. And, in fact, the Chicago Purchasing Managers Index, released just moments ago, surged in part because exports have been so strong. It's one of the bright spots in the U.S. economy, and if China were to close its doors because we're angry at them, that would be very costly to the U.S. economy.
We'll keep an eye on the global recovery and especially exports. Diane Swonk of Mesirow Financial, thank you.
Thank you.
Today, the U.S. Post Office learns whether it can raise the price of a stamp from 44 to 46 cents to help with a budget crisis. Marketplace's John Dimsdale has more.
The post office has been running in the red for the last 3 years and could run out of cash as early as next month. Ever since 2006, the Postal Service has been required to operate at the rate of inflation.
This request that they're asking for now is 10 times the rate of inflation.
That's Jim O'Brien, the head of the Mailers Council, representing most big users of the mail service for things like catalogs and magazine deliveries. He says regulators are forcing the Postal Service to build up its retirement account, which O'Brien says has resulted in an overpayment of $55 billion.
If this overpayment were reversed, the Postal Service would be in the black.
Whether it's an overpayment or not is the subject of some debate in Congress, which has delayed dealing with the post office's longer-term solvency until after the election. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. And by the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM.
What do you think of when I say Basil, a cantankerous bed and breakfast proprietor in a British comedy? That's a fine answer. But if you said Basel III is a new set of international banking regulations, then I'm really impressed. Our friend David Brancaccio has been studying Basel III as part of a new marketplace beat. It's called Economy 4.0, and it's about the quest for a better financial system. Welcome, David.
Glad to be here.
So I know that world leaders are set to ratify the new Basel banking rules later this fall. I also know that bank rules are deathly boring, correct?
au contraire. Actually, you know, there's a fascinating paradox for those of us who are not bankers for a living. On the one hand, Basel might avert the need for another bank bailout, always nice, yet the rules encourage stability by making banks hold on to more of their capital, which some worry could make them less likely to lend money to you and me.
How do these new rules work?
It's a way to force banks to have a thicker mattress stuffed with cash and other easy-to-access capital. Now, it's not good enough to have assets. They have to be more of the kind a bank can quickly use if a bunch of creditors show up wanting their money.
And how are those rules going over so far?
Well, I spoke with the experts about this, the great and the good, but some of the most useful wisdom I got was from a small businessman. Kelly Conklin runs a cabinet-making company in Jersey. These Basel folks adjusting capital reserves is all well and good, he says. But what about times like now, when lending is frustratingly tight?
I think we have to go back and think about the way banks think. They're going to have to change the way they think as well. They can't just adjust it mechanically. They're going to have to just adjust it somewhat philosophically. They're going to have the flexibility of mind at the bottom to see that the way out of the bottom is to make this credit available. It's not so much about reserves per se as it is about how you use those reserves.
In the U.S., the Federal Reserve controls this, so maybe flexibility will come that way.
David, I want to know, why do you care so much about this stuff?
Well, this new marketplace, Economy 4.0 Beat, is about tracking efforts to re-engineer the financial system and to look at whether or not it can be made to better serve more people, like, for instance, Mr. Conklin, who we just heard from. Some say Basel is the biggest international response yet to how the banking system can be fixed, and I think we should monitor these new rules of the road.
We'll be monitoring this stuff together. Marketplace's special correspondent, David Brancaccio, thank you.
My pleasure.
Again, David's series is called Economy 4.0, and he is blogging it at our website, marketplace.org. Finally, we may have a new source of biofuel, the cups used by the Canadian coffee shop chain Tim Hortons. University of Manitoba researchers say Tim Hortons cups, when shredded, are hospitable to fuel-producing bacteria in a way that, say, Starbucks cups are not. So look for that new ad campaign. Tim Hortons, more hospitable to bacteria than Starbucks. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.